And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what an incredible historical event in the history of the church, in the history of our Lord's ministry, as he went up on that mountain with Peter, James, and John, and there before them was transfigured. Jesus revealed the glory, his divine nature in their very presence. And what an experience that must have been. And then that voice that spoke from heaven. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought what that voice sounds like? What the voice of God sounds like? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Wow. Well, it's praise God that he's preserved this account for us, that through his written word that is absolutely trustworthy, that we can be brought into this historical event. And we know it well. We've heard of this account many times over. But the question that is so important this morning, I believe, for us to consider is this one: are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of God? You know, you remember that old commercial, E.F. Hutton, and we have a video blip this morning just as a reminder of how this commercial used to go. And if we can pull that up.
Great shot, Tom. That should do it for you.
Thank you.
What are you going to do with all those winnings?
Well, my broker's E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says,
remember those? Now, I'm not promoting E.F. Hutton, by the way, but to me, that is just an incredible visual. You know, when E.F. Hutton speaks, and instantly, everybody is locked in. Think if it would be that way in the world when God speaks. Well, we can't control the world, right? But we have our own individual lives, and certainly by the grace of God and the Spirit dwelling within us, we are empowered to do that very thing always, to be locked in to God's word and to listen when God speaks. And you know, there's a lot of communication that goes on in the world today, and certainly we have more means today, perhaps, than ever in the history of the world, of being able to lock in and to listen to virtually anything that is being offered out there in the world. But unlike all the anythings that the world offers through its communication, God's word is very distinctively different, because it is absolute truth. God, when he speaks, what he speaks is absolutely trustworthy, and he himself is absolutely trustworthy. So it's pretty important, wouldn't you say, that we would indeed be locked in, that we would listen in the sense of that visual whenever God speaks, whenever we open the Bible, whenever we begin to read? Well, it's interesting what God spoke, isn't it, on the Mount of Transfiguration? Because right away we think about, now this is towards the end of Jesus' public ministry, visually in the flesh. It isn't going to be too far down the road now that Palm Sunday comes and Jesus enters into Jerusalem that final time and makes his journey to the cross. But about three years prior to this, remember when Jesus entered into his public ministry and commanded John the Baptist to baptize him? And when Jesus was baptized, we once again, the first time actually, hear this voice speak from heaven. The very same words: this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And now some 3 years later on the Mount of Transfiguration, again the voice of God speaks, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And God says, listen to him. And then did you hear it in the epistle reading this morning from 2 Peter chapter 1? Peter reflects back on this. After all, he was one of those who was blessed to be with the Lord when this event transpired. And I just kind of broke this passage down. We heard it read a few moments ago. But just consider what Peter expresses in his epistle. First of all, he affirms that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he's speaking of Jesus. We were there, Peter says. We saw it firsthand. We saw it with our own eyes. We were eyewitnesses of this event. And he goes on to emphasize this isn't some kind of myth or tale or made up story, but we were eyewitnesses. We were there. We experienced this incredible event. And then Peter again repeats what was spoken by God from heaven, the very same words we see again. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Think about the significance of those words. We're going to consider that in a moment. But then Peter goes on to say, we ourselves heard this very voice from heaven. Do you think Peter wants us to know without doubt he was actually there? That he heard and experienced this. Boy, talk about the emphasis that he gives. But then in light of all that, he says the most incredible thing. We have something more sure, the prophetic word. The prophetic word. Remember during this time of Peter writing this epistle, the word of God that most understood was the Old Testament that they had had for a long time in written form in their hands, the scrolls. They could study it. They could read it. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word. And then even for more emphasis, Peter makes this statement in verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so Peter affirming to us again, of course it's God through Peter, it's God's word, it's his inspiring word, and God through the Apostle Peter confirms to us that the gospel is absolute truth. You know, at this time, the credibility of the gospel being questioned by many. This was fresh, this was new. And yet here we see God bringing it all together, that this gospel message the apostles have been proclaiming and preaching, that this gospel message is supported and the foundation of it is in God's testimony from heaven. Because what's the center of the gospel but Jesus Christ and who Jesus is? And God declares, this man, Jesus Christ, he is my beloved Son. And by the way, I am well pleased with him. God's favor was on his own Son. And if that isn't enough, then God goes on to say that the testimony of his written word, the Old Testament, confirms what has happened through the gift of Jesus Christ to the world. Isn't it beautiful how God brings this all together for us this morning? And hitting it right at the center point of where, even still today, the greatest question about Jesus Christ is he really the Son of God? Is he really God himself? That's one of the greatest challenges we have when we go out and witness the gospel with others. Most will say, oh yeah, we believe he was a historical person, but you're going a little too far when you claim that this human being was actually God in the flesh on earth. And God, through this incredible testimony, says, no, that's not going too far. That's exactly who Jesus is. And so God gives us this absolute confirmation of his truth, the entire scriptures, as we are blessed to have them. And that's how God primarily speaks to you and me, is through the written word of God, the inerrant word of God, the Holy Bible. And so the question, though, then becomes, when God speaks, are we listening? And, you know, only you can answer that for yourself personally. Only I can answer that for myself personally. But think about what Peter proclaims in verse 19 of our text. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, which you would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. You know, when you're in a dark place, is a lamp kind of important? Have you ever gone on a tour of a cave? I think that's the greatest darkness that I've ever experienced, is when you're down in a cave. Anybody, raise your hand if you've had that experience. Okay, almost everybody in the room. And do they generally turn the lights out? Did they do that when you were in the cave? Isn't that something? I mean, you can have your hand here and you can't see your hand. It is that dark. Now, I wonder if the guide said, oh, man, we can't get the lights to come on. That'd be downright terrifying, wouldn't it? And how refreshing and comforting when the light comes back on and we can easily then find our way. Well, that's what the Word of God provides for us in a very dark, evil, corrupted, confused, sin-broken world. It's the light. It's a lamp. God, through His Word, is clearly showing us the way, and we don't have to question whether it's the way, because His way is absolute. It will never disappoint. It will never deceive. God's Word is absolute truth. So the weakness isn't in the Word, but the weakness is with you and me. And the question again, are we listening? And then another thing is, are we sharing? Because in essence, that's why we are here, right? That's the primary purpose. Everybody's asking, well, why am I here? What's my purpose in life on this earth? The greatest purpose you and I have as God's children is to share this truth so that others can hear and that they can be brought into this incredible kingdom of grace, into God's church, into His family, into His blessings, into the security of everlasting life. And so we are called to be bearers of the truth, and primarily for the sake of those who still do not know, who have rejected it in the past. We could not have a more honorable position in life. And really, in essence, what has God called us to share and proclaim? Number one, that Jesus Christ is exclusively, underline exclusively, the Savior of the world. Now go out and share that message out in the city gate and see if you have any confrontation. And I guarantee you will, because that's exactly where Satan attacks the hardest. You know, next Sunday, I believe, we'll be looking, I'm not sure, at the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. That's coming up soon. But remember what Satan tempted Jesus with over and over again? If you are the Son of God. Now, Satan knows who Jesus is. There's no doubt. In Scripture, it reveals in the book of James that, you know, Satan and the fallen angels know who Jesus is. And yet Satan trying to disrupt the plan of salvation with that question. You think of all the other questions he could have approached Jesus with, or statements, but it's this one. If you are the Son of God. Well, what did God declare at Jesus' baptism? What did he declare at Jesus' transfiguration? This is my beloved Son. God wants us to never miss the point, because it is the life-giving and sustaining point that Jesus isn't merely man. He is also fully God. And that's where Satan attacks the hardest and where he tries to deceive. Another is God's moral law. And so we heard in the Old Testament, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai by God's command. God gives him the commandments on the tablets. Remember the first time around when Moses came back down? Was everybody excited? Yes, yes, here's Moses. He's got God's law. We want to listen to it. We want to submit to it. Remember what they were doing? They were worshiping a golden calf. Because they thought Moses was, it took way too long. They got impatient. And so they made their own God. And remember, God through Moses breaks the tablets. They had totally broken the law. And you think about it today, the Ten Commandments. Boy, that's almost like a statement of evil in many places today. Can't have that in a public place, right? Can't have that in a courtroom. And we see the same mentality in the world today. And it doesn't matter, though, because this is God's standard of morality. And it's not going away. It's not going to change. You can try to hide it from the public, but the word stands. And you and I are called to uphold this incredible standard. How are we doing at that, by the way? We fall short, don't we? Every day. We cannot possibly fulfill the Ten Commandments perfectly. But that is what we are called to demonstrate, to have that desire and strive for it. And then, of course, foundational to all of this is God's agape love, right? Sacrificial love. That love that Jesus carried with him to the cross. It's why he went there, out of obedience to his Father and out of love. Agape love for you and me and the world. And so Jesus says, doesn't he, love one another as I have loved you. Do you ever think about how greatly you're loved by God? Remember the gospel reading last week? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to, you know, sin, what are you supposed to do? Whack it off? How would we look coming to worship? We wouldn't even be able to come, because what happens? We pluck our right eye out, and then we're going to sin with our left eye, right? We're not going to learn. We're going to still sin. And then we don't have any eyes. We whack off our left hand, because after whacking off, I mean, pretty soon, our body would be totally annihilated. There wouldn't be anything left. But isn't that what Jesus did at the cross? He allowed that to be done to him, as his life was taken away for all of our sin. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the greatest message that we have to share. But it comes down to that question, do we listen? And does God really speak through us? And again, that's an individual question. For me, as you ask yourself, yeah, when I'm out in doing life as I do every day, do people see the presence of God in me? Do they hear God's voice through me? Do they see God's truth being promoted and demonstrated in my life? Boy, those are serious questions, aren't they? And it's in the midst of Satan deception. Did God really say? If the word can be demolished, if the word can be put into question, if the word's authority can be questionable, then we really have nothing to stand on, do we? It shouldn't surprise us. Of all the things the voice from heaven could say, is this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. By the way, Jesus at the cross met all the demands of the law prior even to the cross, as he fulfilled the law perfectly. And he had God's favor always because of that. And guess what? Through faith, we receive that favor. When we were baptized, we were clothed with Christ. Being clothed with Christ, we were clothed with his favor. And God looks upon you and me as a child of faith, saint and sinner, but he sees his son's clothing, and he is pleased with you and me as a result of that. That's the message that needs to be spoken. Even in light of, did God really say? And we can say absolutely yes, he did. And the message is clear. The victory is won through his son. Isn't that cool? The victory is won through his son. Only the son could win that victory over sin and Satan and death. And not going in the mode, did God really say? But we say absolutely. It's in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's the reality. That's the absolute. And you and I are blessed to live in the blessings of this reality, but most of the world remains separated. Only the Son could perfectly please our Heavenly Father. And isn't it wonderful we receive that blessing in this sanctuary many times over? The favor of God being bestowed upon us and the Aaronic blessing. And so we know where we stand by God's grace. But the question is, what do we do with that? Well, we have a united purpose, don't we? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a dark world out there. And the church, the population of believers in this country seems to be on a great decline. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell somebody here in Greeley or out at Briggsdale or Windsor or the whole surrounding area? Who's going to demonstrate this truth? Wow, look at this room. This is quite a force that we have among us and united in this incredible faith. And you know how it's not complicated. It's simply living in accordance to the people God has called us to be. And you know, I think one of the greatest testimonies you and I can give is the security that you and I live in. Because I see a lot of insecure people. If you watch the debate the other night among the Democratic Party, I mean, they're talking about in 7 years the world's over with global warming. And there's people that believe that. And they're terrified. And they see us and it's like, aren't you worried? No. I remember sitting on our porch years ago, early 2000s, extreme drought. And back when I got a newspaper, the Denver Post. And it was like September and it was all gloom and doom, the worst drought ever. It'll take years to fill those lakes, the reservoirs up in the mountain. And I kid you not, I just broke out laughing. And I said, God could do this in a winter if he wants to. And guess what? That winter he actually did. It was like 110% snowpack. All the reservoirs were full. And I think we even had flooding issues the next spring. But you see, that's who we are as God's people. Yes, we want to be good stewards, but we recognize God is the one in control. And we're secure in that. And of course, to share the word verbally. God's word does not return void. When E.F. Hutton speaks, I love that visual. I hope we can just see the visual. Wouldn't it be cool to be out in the public square and you share the word of God and suddenly everybody stops? Well, fill in the blank for your personal life. When God speaks, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who, contrary to what the world believes, is exclusively the Savior of the world. Amen.